Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come, Joel. Seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, guys.
Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
The Locked On Bulls podcast.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck. And at Locked On Bulls, hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Our episode today is sponsored by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Welcome back from the weekend. I lied, and Matt Peck is not with me. I am solo tonight for you guys, if you guys are listening to this. Still on Monday, or maybe you're waking up on Tuesday morning and you're listening to not only this, but Matt did an episode as well to cover you guys tomorrow. With not a lot going on in terms of Bulls-related news, Matt and I decided to split it up. I'm working some bizarre hours right now. So he's covering Tuesday. I'm covering today. And we'll be back on Wednesday together and hopefully for the rest of the week. But I think the plan going forward now for the podcast, at least, is to start producing episodes 5 days a week. And so Matt and I have a lot of things that we've planned out in the case of we don't have actual Bulls news for the next 6 weeks or 8 weeks until we lead up to the either the lottery or maybe Jim Boylan firing or anything else in between. We're kind of going to sit in limbo. And so we'll do what we normally do in an off season where we'll talk a lot about the playoffs in the first third of the every episode. We usually like to recap those games. So I know Matt and I will definitely do that. And we'll be hitting on other Bulls topics throughout the episodes. So, finishing up our rundowns of players as well. We want to finish doing our players in review from last year, and we're going to post on Twitter as well. So if you want to go back and see if the players that we've already done, probably done about a third of the roster by now. So if you're looking to go back and listen to those, Matt and I are going to continue doing that throughout the next few weeks, and then we'll start to get into some prospects as we get closer to the lottery. But I had to laugh today as I was watching. And not just today, the last few days, as we were starting to get all these videos from the weekend of the NBA players reporting to the bubble, and you've got media reporting to the bubble, and we saw a few guys, James Harden and Russell Westbrook, both decided to delay their trip with the team, and they didn't go initially when Houston went down there late last week, and it turns out today we find out Russell Westbrook has coronavirus, so we'll see. I'm sure that's going to delay his plans. He'll have to quarantine for 2 weeks, and hopefully everything's okay. I'm not sure about the symptoms, but a lot of people are speculating James Harden may have it too, and that's why they delayed, or at least maybe James Harden and Russell Westbrook were somewhere in the range of contact, and they want to make sure that he tests negative before he can join the team. So a lot of guys not happy with the food either in Disney, and you can have your opinion if you want. I just don't understand why some guys just didn't pack for this or didn't prepare for this. Or, you know, a lot of these dudes have people that work for them, whether it's managers or agents. Why didn't you have them pre-plan for this? You knew what room you were going to be in down there. Why didn't they send, I don't know, a Suburban full of groceries for you to stock yourself? I get it's not gourmet meals and they're used to having private chefs and everything, but still, it didn't look great, but at the same time, it didn't look terrible. But again, we got to think about the athlete is eating so much different than you and I and consuming so much more so often, and they're used to having that pretty much at hand whenever they wanted. You can even predate that back to college. A lot of these guys are used to having 24/7 access to meals and having these big buffets. And that kind of ends up happening more and more too in the NBA. You see guys being able to basically get whatever they want while they're practicing, while they're working, and then in their off time, they've got private chefs, so they're going to the best restaurants wherever. So I saw a couple hosts kind of pushing back on that and a couple NBA people, especially Jay Williams. And I thought his point was good, but I also kind of get it because the players don't get it. I feel like some players, for a lot of them, especially if they're used to the good life for the last 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, you start to forget what it's like for some people. And especially in this situation now, with the climate of our country and our world right now, you would think guys would check themselves. But I think most of the people that were complaining, I think they were just trolling and joking. So I think there was a bit of an overreaction there. And the guys that were actually legitimately complaining, the far and few between, they got checked pretty fast. And that's happening a lot on social media. So guys are getting checked. And the ones that weren't were just trolling. So I don't know if these guys are going to, I don't know if they're going to finish this season, and we'll see how far they stretch this season out. But as we get closer and closer to actual game action at the end of July, it should be, I told Matt, they're going to play this quote unquote regular season. I'm pretty sure that hits them the minimum contract requirements, so the league at least gets paid for those games. And I could see them stopping 2 or 3 weeks before they actually start the legit playoffs. Hopefully everybody returns and they've tested positive, negative, or they've tested negative multiple times, and the people that have tested positive already quarantined long enough, so you're not missing any of those key role players. And again, I know that's not the most important part of the conversation right now. It's the health and safety of the players and who is actually playing in those games. But at some point, the conversation is gonna be sparked, and it's gonna be the first person that goes down with coronavirus in a critical series, whether they're playing in the Eastern Conference Finals or they're playing in the opening round of the Western Conference. So it doesn't matter. We see a star player having to be quarantined for 2 weeks, and the NBA says, "Now we're gonna push on. Go ahead. You're gonna play 4 games in this span without your best player or your second best player." I mean, a lot of teams, I would think players would want to push and maybe shut down and have to shut down for 2 weeks. Everybody quarantine, and then you start back up, especially if it's a series. We get a one and a two seed going at it in the finals or in the conference finals. You're like, all right, we're going to shut this down. We can't do it for the competitive advantage of it too. So I guess we'll just wait and see. Before I get into my Bulls topic for the day, and this is going to be a relatively short podcast, I'm also going to drop the Mock Draft 2.0. Matt did kind of a breakdown. I know we've been sharing that on other people's feeds, but we'll drop that in this feed too. So you'll have tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, technically you should have 3 episodes from us fresh this week in your feed. If you're listening to this Monday night, hopefully you've got 2 at that point, and the 3rd coming on Tuesday morning. But before I talk about Zach LaVine, and you know, I can't wait to have these conversations with Bulls fans. It's going to be so fun, especially if he comes back in a brand new season and balls out, and him and Coby White are just a 1-2 tandem. Now you go from having conversations about, let me talk about Rock Auto first before I get into any of that. RockAuto.com is fantastic. They've been a fantastic sponsor of the Locked On Podcast Network and Locked On Bulls for the last 2 months. So we appreciate everybody at RockAuto.com and everybody who's supported, all you listeners out there who have supported RockAuto.com, mentioned Locked On Bulls or the Locked On Podcast Network when you are shopping for auto parts. And RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same exact parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, right, locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. You can write Locked On Bulls, you can write Locked On Podcast Network, or Locked On. Just make sure they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. So I had this thought over the weekend, and it wasn't necessarily sparked by Zach LaVine. It was sparked by Mo Bamba and seeing pictures of Mo Bamba's transformation, just even from last season to this season. And he went on a Zoom call with a bunch of the Orlando media and just general NBA media. And the dude looks different. The dude looks different. He looks built. And I know we do this. We do this every summer, right? I mean, even shouts out to Rajon Rondo, who I feel bad for, who will be missing the first 2 months. If we're still playing playoff games, he might be have an impact for the Lakers. But yeah, he had another fracture in his finger, broken fingers. So he is out. But before that, I was like, wow, damn, Rajon Rondo was working out. We were seeing all those pictures of him at Lakers training camp. But back to Mo Bamba really quick. I saw this picture and I was like, damn, I'm very, very glad we have Wendell Carter Jr. I don't regret the pick. I don't think it was a bad pick at all by the Bulls. And I still stand by my pick. If it was at number 7 and where I thought Carter was going to go originally, which I thought the Orlando Magic or even somebody higher than that was going to take Carter before 7 hit. So I figured Mo Bamba might slip. And we had a bunch of discussions about whether you trade up for a guy like Mo Bamba. And those draft classes were loaded. But I'm glad where the Bulls stood pat. Even though they decided to stand pat there, they got Wendell Carter Jr. But I still, for whatever reason, love the idea of having Mo Bamba. And I think people tend to quickly forget about the success a guy had maybe in college as soon as he gets to the pros, and maybe he immediately gets injured or is battling or behind somebody that they just signed. Maybe they just signed this massive, massive superstar. And in honestly, in Mo Bamba's case, it worked out to the worst for his career. At least right now. Think about Vukovic was coming off an all-star season. They re-signed him for a boatload of money. They re-signed Aaron Gordon for a boatload of money. So he's kind of trapped. He has no way to gain access playing time, legit playing time, in order to develop. And after getting injured too, and having injuries predating the NBA drafts, people were kind of concerned, like, I don't know, maybe he'll be a bust. I don't know if he's going to be able to hang around. And it looks like he's put the work in. And I told somebody it looked like the way Markkanen looked last year in September when we got those pictures from the Nike basketball, the House of Hoops. I think it was the House of Hoops church. And he was doing all those pictures and he just looks absolutely shredded. It looked like he had a really great summer in the gym. And that's how Mo Bamba looks. And again, Mo Bamba's only like 20 or 21. So he's still got plenty of time, but I was excited to see him, and it made me start to think about the future of the Bulls as a whole and thinking about what people think of the best player on this team. And I don't know if there's much argument, but Zach LaVine's the best player on this team, straight up. Coby White might be the best player in 3 years. Lauri Markkanen might be better in 3 years, but right now, I don't even think there's a question Zach LaVine is the best player on this team. And I wondered a couple of things. One, what's the mindset of an average Bulls fan out there right now? You've had, what, 4 months of not having to watch basketball? We've got a brand new front office. We're going to have a soon-to-be brand new head coach. What does that mean long-term for Zach LaVine? And a lot of people, I think, pointed immediately to, we got to trade him. We got to trade him. We got to get assets. We're not ready. He's not a number one guy, blah, 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 blah. Everybody keeps going on the negatives. Everybody hits the negative talking points like they did, what was it, 2 years ago when he signed his extension and nobody wanted him to sign the 4-year, $80 million extension. We can get back to that, but immediately on social media, I see, and immediately on Twitter, I see people ripping Zach LaVine left and right. He's a one-way player, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you this. Remember what it felt like. I know it was short term. At least it feels short term. Remember what it feels like not to have a star in this city. And maybe for a lot of older Bulls fans, you understand that more so because you can reflect on the post-Jordan years more closely than I guess I could or anybody my age. post-Jordan years, early 2000s, we were still, I was only 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. My fandom for basketball didn't really start till I was about 10. And so the idea of stars being here, I think, was part of that, is you were falling off the Michael Jordan dynasty and you had a bunch of guys that weren't quote-unquote superstars in the league. The team was built with a bunch of grinders, a bunch of guys Chicago fans ended up loving and still love to this day, but you didn't have a star. And then Derrick Rose came by and all of a sudden we have a superstar. All of a sudden we have a top 10 player. Then Derrick Rose get hurt. And then there's Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler comes in. And I mean, you could even say before Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah shows up. That was really the first piece. I consider Joakim Noah an NBA all, I mean, he was an all-star, an NBA star, especially at his peak. And there was talks about him being the MVP at one time. But it gets back to my point. I think over the last, 10 years, we're used to having a star here. It's been without question. The idea that the Bulls have failed is because they can't acquire multiple stars or build a team around one guy. Since Jimmy Butler has left, Zach LaVine has shown a bunch of flashes of that guy, but I don't think he's quite yet a star there. That doesn't mean I don't think he's going to be, and maybe he could set it off. And I think he blew a lot of people's expectations away this season, especially the amount of injuries the Bulls had. Who was Zach LaVine playing next to for the majority of the season? A young Kobe White, and at times those two looked good. I remember the Charlotte game, and so does everybody else, but Zach LaVine had to carry that team. And even predating that, go back to the year before, when everybody got hurt, and Zach LaVine had to basically score 45 to keep you in a game. If Zach LaVine had help, I think his mindset of how to be a great player is starting to change, and we saw that even more so towards the end of last season. But again, we haven't been able to see it because the Bulls keep getting hurt, and it's to no fault of their own, but we haven't truly seen Zach LaVine in a big enough sample size in one season to say, damn, yeah, that, you know what, that's the guy. That's the guy we can at least, maybe he's not the number one, but he's a number two. And maybe his clout's worthy of a number one guy. If it was up to me, it's hard. It's very, very difficult to find stars in this league. And the Bulls suck at signing people. They suck. They don't sign stars. All-stars don't sign here. For whatever reason, it's not just the Bulls problem. It's a Chicago problem. We don't have great success with free agents. And I don't care what sport you're talking about. Most of that's been done within trades. And hell, maybe the new front office brings a different idea to that. And maybe that's a fresh face and it's a clean slate. But you need somebody here. You need somebody advocating for this team. And I don't think you find anybody better than Zach LaVine. And he's a borderline all-star. He's a borderline all-star as of last year. Yeah, I think he got snubbed. I think he should have been in the all-star game. But the Bulls sucked. They didn't win many games. Not a lot was televised. People didn't really watch. Jim Boylan was out there doing his thing. And that's mostly what people covered. It was how the Bulls blew a fourth quarter game this week, and what did Jim Boylan say pre or post game? That was the national attention. But it's back to my greater point about Zach LaVine, and I honestly don't know. I know how I feel, but I don't know how the rest of Bulls Nation feels, because it feels a lot like it was 2 years ago when he signed his contract. It was split 50-50 among the fan base. Do you sign him long-term? Do you take that gamble, especially in a guy with a torn ACL, and give him a ton of money? And you're not guaranteed anything else. Or do you roll the dice and say, hey, I can build something better here. Let's deal him now, get the best value for him, and hope both sides win. I just think you get in a terrible pattern of just going through players and going through players and teams, and this is the next guy for our quote-unquote core. You start to get into that funk, and you seemingly can't get out of it. Think about like a team like the Kings. after they dealt Boogie Cousins, how long did it take for them to get a star after that? Do they even have a star on their team right now? Probably not. Think about any other team around the NBA who struggled to bring a star. Think about the Knicks, man. Think about the Knicks. Carmelo Anthony at the end of tail end of his career, he leaves. The Knicks haven't had a true star since Melo was in his prime, and that's a decade ago. Talking about the same place the Bulls are at. It's no coincidence that they're two of the eight worst teams. That's why they're left out of this bubble. It is so pathetic that the Bulls and the Knicks, two of the biggest markets in the NBA, have been this bad for this long. We're going to do a crossover episode with the guys from Locked On Knicks just to kind of talk about how the franchise has got this bad, where it got to, and why it got here, and how fans are feeling. And I know New York fans are very passionate about their basketball team, just as we are here. But getting your heart broken multiple times over and over again, and they're a different breed of fans too, because they buy into the psychosis of hey, we're landing KD, Zion, and Kyrie. Or we're getting Anthony Davis. We're getting LeBron James. We're getting all of these guys. Their first team, all Photoshop team. Like, that's without a doubt. I think the Miami Heat might be second, or maybe the Lakers, but that's one team that there is, you Google any player and there's probably a Photoshopped picture of that player in a Knicks uniform at some point in the last 10 years. So going back to my Zach LaVine point, what do Bulls fans want to do with him? Let's say it's best case scenario. I want to look at the glass half full here. Say Zach LaVine maintains the same stats he put up this year, improves slightly on the defensive side of the ball, doesn't miss any games, is healthy, figures out what the hell is going on in the last 3 minutes of games where he can't seemingly hold on to the basketball, and more often than not doesn't make great decisions with the ball either. Put that in combination with maybe putting some other players around this Bulls team that actually fit the way that Zach LaVine wants to play. Unlock Lauri Markkanen. Kobe White gets a little bit older. Wendell Carter Jr., let's cross our fingers and every superstition you can think of, maybe he can stay healthy for an entire season. But the idea is that I feel like the clock has started. The clock has started on need to make a decision on Zach LaVine. And it might be in the early stages of it. I know there's still a bunch of time left, but not knowing where these seasons are going and not knowing if they're going to be able to complete this one and not knowing if next season will even happen or what capacity next season's going to happen in, and where you are in terms of the state of your franchise, it's difficult to not think about what you're going to do maybe 2 years down the line. And I know this front office probably thinks about that three years, 5 years, 7 years down the line. Where do you want to be? What kind of core, what kind of basketball team do you want to be? Let's assume that maybe the cap goes down 10% from where it's at because of the pandemic. Is Zach LaVine worthy of another four-year, $80 million contract? Is it going to cost you more than that? Would it cost you 4 or 5 years, $100 million, $125, $150 million? I think it all depends on his health and how he plays in the next two seasons. Would you want to re-sign? If Zach LaVine said after the next season, has a good season, has something that mirrored this year, and the Bulls approached him for a four-year, $85 million extension to stay with the team, what would you say? What do you want the Bulls to do with Zach LaVine? What do you think the most likely scenario with Zach LaVine is? But I think the clock has started to tick, and with a new front office, they're going to have to think about these things, and I think it's going to be more unbiased for them to think about this than it would for the old regime. The old regime would want to keep him even more so, and that's not to say that he's not skilled or I don't want to keep him, but they have more of a reason to want to keep Zach LaVine around to prove people wrong, even about the Butler deal. This new front office doesn't have that. But I think there's a way in which, even if Zach LaVine isn't the answer here long term, to build a relationship with him. I've talked about this multiple times the last couple of weeks. When he does come up, there's a way in which you can have him leave here and not have him leave here on bad terms. And that's another thing the front office is going to have to fix. It starts at the bottom. It starts at rock bottom. Same thing with what you're doing with Jim Boylan. And I don't need to relist all the players that left here on not so great terms, but overall you think about their career was a success here. Zach LaVine can be a guy that has the connections to bring other stars here. Even if he moves on and goes to a different team, he can talk about the Bulls in a good way if you treat him that way. Allow him to have decision-making power. Listen to him. Listen to what he thinks might be best for the team. What would strengthen all of those guys? As far as a leader, as a face of a team, Zach LaVine isn't. There's nothing better. There's absolutely nothing better than a guy that, in which the way Zach LaVine carries himself off the floor, not as a skill match it. With Zach LaVine's personality, if he has Jimmy Butler's skill, he's a star in this. He's a star in this town. He stays here for a decade. That's without a question. Not only is he a vocal leader, he's good on social media. He's well connected within the league. He's a high flyer, gains a lot of attention. If he stays healthy and you can make this team good around him, I think he can stay here long term, but I guess we'll have to see, right? That's going to about do it here. I want to leave you with that question, though. What do you think the Bulls should do with Zach LaVine? What's the thought process right now? Do you think it's too early to even think about an extension or having to trade him or any of that? Or do you think the time has started already? But for me, I think it's already started. And I think the smart move would be to make a decision as soon as the Bulls can get back on the floor and start working. Make a decision on what you're going to do with him long term. Even if it is until maybe next spring. The sooner the better, though. So you tell us, 331-979-1369. Drop your texts, your voicemails. You can tweet at us at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Nally, and at Bulls_Peck. Thanks so much for listening to us and Locked On Bulls all week long. Matt will be back with a solo episode tomorrow. You also get the mock draft 2.0 in your feeds too at some point later tonight or early tomorrow morning. So check that out as well. Matt and I will be back together on Wednesday. We'll do some mailbags. So definitely get those voicemails in, those text messages. Even if you want to talk about draft, whatever it is you want to talk about, send us a voicemail, a text message, an email, or tweet at us at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. For my partner, Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
New York strip steak? Ooh. Braised beef short ribs? Damn! What else we got?
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.